You're listening to the Lord's radio station. I'm Zipporah Mundy. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we have a guest on the line. His name is Dana Thomas. He is the executive director for an organization called Forge for Families. It's located in Houston, Texas, in the Third Ward. And we have him on the line because we've been trying to definitely highlight stories and share what's going on in Houston. We see images on the TV and all of that, but I want to stay connected to people that are there and hear real stories from real people and seeing how are they navigating through this struggle, because, you know, we're praying and doing what we can, but our life continues while theirs has been totally disrupted. And so definitely want to stay connected to what's happening in Houston. Hello, Mr. Thomas. How are you today?
I am well. Good morning, Zipporah, and thanks for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time. And I do want to note, just because of a lot of people will be familiar, the Thomas family, they have been known for years to run Kids Across America camps. And so a lot of you are familiar with Kids Across America camps. And so this is the family that was behind a lot of the powerful ministry that was going on there throughout the years. And then they've moved on to Houston, Texas now, and they're doing powerful work in Houston. And so I wanted to note that just because I want people to be able to make that connection to just who you are and the track record of your family throughout the years. And so we really do thank you for taking time to talk with us today in the midst of everything that's going on. Can you first tell me about Forge for Families? What type of an organization is it, or was it before Hurricane Harvey hit?
Well, the Forge is a holistic family ministry. We try to come alongside families, and we really have taken the approach of Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, where he talked about loving that church. He said, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you've become so dear to us." And so we have a target area that we focus on, even though we don't limit people from coming outside that area, but we focus on an area to come alongside families, to see them really come along and just grow to fulfill their God-given potential. The Forge does that in a variety of ways, and largely families will come in our door looking for assistance with after-school education or athletics for their children. That would be overwhelmingly 85% of the people walking in our door are looking for that type of assistance. A small percentage will come in with family emergency relief. But through those two platforms, we build relationships with families that we get a chance to encourage them to experience what God had designed the family to experience.
Can you tell me how different that is, where before you were focused on youth ministry and now you're concentrating on the whole family? It's got to be a different set of needs, is it not?
It is, Zipporah, but largely people come through the door looking for the assistance with you. Mm-hmm. The difference is now I've been at this long enough, you know, 25 years in this arena, that I'm the age of the parents of many of the kids that are, or I should say young adults that are bringing kids to us.
Right.
So a mother coming in my center that's a single mom, I'm old enough to be her parent.
Mm.
And then we get to use the experience that we learn both as being parents and having been raised as a single parent child myself to hopefully enhance and come alongside these families to help them grow. So we share with parents all the time, we don't want to give our kids anything we don't want to give your kids.
Right.
And we've raised three adult children, and we want to share with you what we've learned in the process, because both of us learned on the job.
Right.
And we say that because we're both from homes that were broken. And as a result of that, how do you fix that cycle? And that cycle has so many impacts that if we don't stop to consider them, we will perpetuate them. So we really sell our families on, listen, we want this to be extended family. And if you see us that way, you'll let us into all parts of your life, from picking the high schools your kids go through to looking at careers for your children and encouraging them to look at that pre-high school, so when they enter high school, they are purposeful in their studies. Because so many kids growing up in the urban core, they go to school, but they don't necessarily know the correlation with school and what they're going to get to do 10, 15 years from now.
Right. Well, that really encourages me to hear, because a lot of ministries are geared just towards youth, but I really do feel like we have a broken family problem, and you can't just stop at the kids. If you're trying to really fix things, then you really do have to address the issues in the whole family. And so I'm really encouraged to know that y'all are really trying to do that.
Yeah, we see that as a key platform that, and seeing ourselves as an extension of the church, that the church has to come alongside people, because the message of the gospel is one of redemption, regardless of where your failure took place.
Right.
And so for us, getting to walk with folks and getting to do so out of our own history. I love talking to single parents because I'm the byproduct of a single parent. And so as I remind them, I don't have to let my past determine my kid's future.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's really, really powerful that you said that. And the reason why is because you talked about breaking the cycle. And sometimes when the cycle becomes the norm, or when you've seen God help you through the cycle, which is the norm in your mind, you almost don't think there's a problem that needs to be fixed because it's the norm, and you've seen God work through it. So you really don't want to talk about stopping that for your kids, because, you know, it's almost like this is going to happen, but, you know, God is still there. And, you know, the thinking can just really become, in a sense, it can become blurred, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. We become accepting of what's the distortion versus what was the design. So we begin to embrace these paradigms that become normal in our community as if it's intentional. So what I remind these parents on, first of all, I have zero interest in shaming you, but because I'm an oops, okay? And I use that phrase purposely. My mother did not plan for me. My father never married my mother. I'm an oops, so to speak. If you look at it purely humanly, divinely speaking, you don't have children just because of the process. As I remind them, listen, God was in this. He used their failure. But at the end of the day, that don't mean I have to perpetuate it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a chance to encourage these mothers. Listen, you may not be able to change your story, but we can change the story of your child.
Mm-hmm.
And working with them, the mothers that are embracing it are letting us speak into their lives in all kind of ways. I have a mother that's my grown daughter's age who we are working with academically to help her get a GED. And that takes a lot of humiliation to sit and go through the type of academic training that your children are going through at the same time.
Right.
But as I reminded her, because she's so young, you got 30 more years to work. Don't doom yourself to a life of poverty working, because if you stay in your current training or education level, you're going to always work at the poverty line. There's just no way. Nobody's going to pay you more money because you don't have any particular education.
Mm-hmm.
And she has believed that we care about her enough to allow us to work with her at a very remedial level to help her move forward. Because even if it takes a couple of years, finish this level, then begin to work on a junior college education. She can see it because mm-hmm. she's been stuck making very limited wages for a long time.
Wow. Well, that's encouraging just to kind of see inside the type of ministry that you're doing. Now, let's talk about how the Forge for Families has been impacted by Hurricane Harvey. You've been impacted by Harvey.
Yes, we have gone from our regular programming to immediate rescue relief activities. So everything that we were doing, because pretty much the area, the schools, all of that is shut down by Harvey. Our programming became shut down. Now, we were already registered with the American Red Cross as a potential relief shelter if the need arises, because we have a couple of gyms. We got locker rooms with showers. We have three buildings on our facilities that can accommodate a lot of different things. And so we had already entered into an agreement that if the emergency ever happened, they could use our facility. When that took place, it, of course, forced us to begin to shift all our focus. So in so many ways, we at our peak, we had about 300 people staying in our shelter. Mm-hmm. When you have 300 guests, so to speak, staying there who come out of displacement, and all of the drama of this flood, you have everything walking into your center.
Right.
Particularly when you think about people who are in the midst of crisis and they still have present health issues. Mm-hmm. So we found ourselves, you know, shuttling people to the hospitals, trying to get grief counseling going. Some folks just lost everything. You know, all of the dynamics that go on of caring for people that are hurting in the immediate, because this was like, we got to respond now to this. Even though it's been incredibly taxing on the team and on the Red Cross volunteers, we have felt very encouraged by the people leaving feeling like they have felt cared for.
Yeah. And I have a great appreciation for what you're doing, because I can't even imagine having to shift focus of my entire operation and just have to deal with so many different things at one time, like you said, and you don't know what you're dealing with. And so you're trying to brace yourself for you don't really know what. And how do you do that? And so,
you know, what's amazing is that there's something innate in human. When people are in crisis and need, it's amazing how folks stepped up. There wasn't complaining. There wasn't crying. My phone was blowing up with people calling me from across the country. Hey, how can we help? What do you need? So we went from being a under-resourced facility to having to tell people stop bringing stuff.
Wow. Thank God.
So we needed, and that's in a 24, 48-hour period. We were turning away stuff. Because, you know, when you get parents coming with children and you need all the products because they lost everything. They need clothes. They need diapers. They need baby food. They just all these needs. And then you're not even talking about the basic human needs of water and food. Mm-hmm. We were inundated with folks who could get to us because not everybody could get to us. So, you know, that was one dynamic. Like, we have large quantities that are becoming from San Antonio and different places that have contacted me. And for the ongoing future, we're going to continue to try to, the way we operate is we're going to try to resource the churches. So we have a large church in our area called Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church that's going to serve as a distribution center for not just Southeast Houston, even though that's where we are, but for any church that wants to come there and get resources to take back into different parts where people are impacted.
Okay.
So it gets into, you're not doing what you normally do.
Right.
But you still care for people. It's a different way, but it's an immediate need.
Got you. So then going forward, you may have material things that you need right now. What do you anticipate some of the needs will be as the, you know, rebuilding of Houston process starts to happen?
Well, we know we're going to have to continue to help people get on their feet. We have a couple of AAU basketball teams. And one of our coaches, this is the second flood he's lost a car in. The car becomes vital because Houston's public transit system is not set up like most major metropolitan. Even though it's a major metropolitan, I'm from Chicago. It's not like Chicago's transit system. So you can't as easily get to work on a public transportation situation as you can in a city like Chicago or New York, etc. So we're going to be helping folks try to find ways to solve those solutions that are pretty significant, because if you lose your employment, and I know a lot of employers are going to flex with people, but you have to be able to get there. That's just an exception that I know about immediately in our organization because I was talking to my team.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things we know we'll be helping people with. So we're going to be working to manage some groups coming in, and then as people give, a lot of that stuff where those resources may help us buy certain supplies to be able to repair certain areas. Talk to another partner of ours in ministry who's in the community. And as I was checking on him, and we were planning together, there's a group of us planning on how to disseminate stuff to our area. He's telling me that water's coming up through his family room floor. The next thing I know, he texts me a picture, and he's in a canoe with his daughter with a bunch of garbage bags.
Oh, wow.
And I was trying to discern the picture, and I texted him back and said, man, what are you doing? You going for a canoe ride? He said, no, man, I'm evacuating. And I was like, oh, this went from us just helping these other folks that we don't know that this brother's going to need help getting his house back in order. And he told me right off the bat, I don't have flood insurance.
Wow.
So it's a lot of those kind of things. You say, okay, how do you help? There's going to be a variety of needs beyond this. So we have some counseling that we're setting up for folks. I'm unaware of anybody that stayed at our place that actually had lost somebody in the sense of lost a life. But there were a number of people that were just deeply grieved by the impact the storm had on them. And I'm just imagining, just trying to figure out how do they rebuild.
Right.
This is where we'll be heading. And for me and the church, this is where we come with a message of hope and comfort. That doesn't mean it's not going to be a difficult road, but you certainly want to encourage people through the message of the gospel. Mm. God certainly allowed what took place, but that's not the fruit of, or an evidence that he don't love us. He loves us greatly. We know as believers that what we're experiencing is the fruit of the fall. All of these natural disasters are the fruit of sin. So So the earth is groaning, waiting on redemption, because it too got cursed at the fall. And that's going to take place until Jesus come back. But in the meantime, those folks need to hear that God loves them and try to make sense out of their loss. And that's where grief counselors and pastors and different folks on the ground will be working with people. Right now, we're trying to mobilize people interested in coming in.
Okay.
So there's a lot to figure out.
Yeah.
But we're on the early end. We realize the main thing is just the immediate folks for us. We wanted anybody coming there to walk away feeling like they have been taken in by family.
That's good. That's good, Mr. Thomas. Now, if someone is listening and maybe they want to follow you, maybe they're really interested in what you're doing and they want to follow what's happening with the Forge, they kind of want to stay updated in case they want to get involved in some kind of way. Can you tell us, how can people follow you? How can people financially give to you? Or if someone is interested in even coming to help you, just what's the best way of connecting with the Forge right now?
Best way is going to to our website, because yours truly, Zipporah, is still in Facebook denial, so I don't have Facebook. But I have to tell everybody that's telling on my age. But what the organization does, and several of our team members do, have Facebook. So we have a Facebook page that my wife Bridget is always posting on, and many that are involved in this communicate through. So the Forge for Families is the name of our organization, and you can find us at www.theforgeforfamily.org.
Thank you so much, Mr. Thomas, for all that you're doing.
Thank you for having me. And listen, if I can leave with this one thing, there will be countless opportunities to be burning bushes, so to speak, for God as people encounter hurting people. And so I would ask the body of Christ there to be praying that we really would represent him well as we come in contact with people that are hurting. I reminded our team, the only difference between us and them is that our little area was spared, because we could have found ourselves on the other side of that fence, so to speak. But since we on this side and we get to represent them, we want to represent them well, that people would be drawn to them like Moses was drawn to that burning bush.
That's really good, Mr. Thomas.
Please say hello to all of our friends from KAA in that area. We miss seeing everybody.
And we've been talking to Dana Thomas, the executive director of the Forge for Families in Houston, Texas, in the Third Ward, a ministry that is now turned into a shelter for victims of Hurricane Harvey. If you would like to financially support the relief efforts of the Forge, go to forgeforfamilies.org, click on the menu, select Give, and then click Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. You can also follow the Forge for Families on Facebook and stay updated on what's happening with the ministry. You're listening to the Lois Radio Station. I'm Zipporah Mundy. Stay tuned.